Hello, everybody. It is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host, and maybe you can tell we're still interviewing by telephone, and my guests are on the telephone, aren't you, Brian?
Yes.
And Dennis.
Yeah, okay. I'm here.
Okay. It's hard to know when the mics are open and when they're not, but hey, it's live radio, and we are all glad to have you here. So before I invite my first guests in, I just wanted to wish everybody, hope you had a good week with all of the celebrations and commemorations. There was Dia de los Muertos, Sigid from Ethiopian Jewish community, and Diwali from the Hindu et al. Communities. Festival of light, light over darkness, good over evil, education and knowledge over ignorance. Doesn't that sound wonderful? And I want to wish happy birthdays to Janet, who my next guests are very familiar with, and to Ray, and to Jan Mitchell. Thanks for your help with this program, Jan. Healing wishes to Larry, Sue, Ellen, Lisa, Jeff, Debbie, Caroline, Frederica, and you, if that's something that you can use, and who can't. Well, we know that at least at 3 o'clock on Fridays, we try to bring healing through the arts. And my first two guests are ready to do that. They are Brian Bergman and Dennis Hale from the North Coast Symphonic Band, which has been around for how many years?
This is our 42nd season.
42nd season. And they are about to open with a concert called March Back to the NCSB, North Coast Symphonic Band. It is happening on the 7th, which is this Sunday, at the Liberty Theater. The main part of the concert is at 2, but you don't want to miss the prelude, which is the Astoria Tuba Quartet. Anybody we know?
Oh, a couple of guys, you know.
And that's at 1:30. You can get your tickets by going to libertyastoria.org or going over to the box office or just getting there early and getting your tickets there. Remember to bring your vaccination card. You will be carded no matter how old you are. I guess if you're over 12, perhaps. And make sure you have your masks as well. Masks are mandatory at the Liberty throughout the concert. I don't know about the musicians. What about you folks?
Well,
you
we're
can.
Going through. Yeah, I'll tell you, we are trying to protect ourselves and others at this time, and we're using bell covers for the brass to make sure that no, aerosols come out of the horn, and when we're not playing, we're using masks in the hall, and we're all vaccinated. The mm-hmm. band is all vaccinated, so mm-hmm. we're trying real hard to keep everybody safe.
So, are you using the same configuration? Are all your members playing?
I'd say most of them are. The vast majority. It's going to look very similar to concerts you've seen in the past. It sure has been nice getting back together after such a long hiatus.
Oh, I'm sure. I am sure. So tell us about this special concert, March Back to the NCSB. American music, but I don't have a program, so
okay.
It's up to you.
Well, there are several marches. One of the marches is even one that was written for the Daily Astoria budget.
Wow.
Which was a paper before the Daily Astorian, and was written in 1903, I believe, a long time ago. That's been transcribed for band by Lee Stromquist. He took it off of a piano score.
Very cool.
And so, and we're doing just a lot of Americana, a lot of marches, several marches, several Stephen Foster pieces, a couple of, like there's a Cole Porter medley, just some really nice music. It's going to be a listenable concert. It's going to be a very enjoyable concert. And we have two real pros conducting us from Linfield University.
Yes.
Tell us. Seth Wollum and Joan Paddock.
Now, I know Joan. She's been here on my show, and she is wonderful. She also, is she going to bring her longhorn?
I don't know.
I don't know if that goes with this concert, but that was extraordinary when she brought and played that, blew the entire audience away.
The lure.
Lure.
Is what she called it, yeah.
Uh-huh. So I don't know Seth at all. Tell us a little bit about them and how this is working that you have guest conductors.
We've been doing guest conductors. We're looking for a permanent conductor, and then one of the best ways to do that is to give people an opportunity to conduct us and to see if the fit is right. Seth is another music teacher. He teaches concert band and marching band at Linfield, and so he's bringing his expertise to us, and they decided to share the concert this time just for scheduling purposes and take the load off of each one of them, and it sure has been nice to have both of them involved with us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So this program also features a soloist, Amanda McClure. What's that about? What is she going to be soloing?
She is soloing on two pieces. One of them is a rendition of Teddy Bear's Picnic, which is super fun. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Gentle Annie, which is another just beautiful piece of music. She just has a lovely voice and brings a lot to our group.
So when you have a soloist, does the entire band play behind her, or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So she is mic'd?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering how that works, because that's like, how many of you with one singer?
Oh, we have, right now we're at around 30, between 34 and 36 people in the band.
Uh-huh. Okay. And tell us about Amanda, because I know the name McClure from...
Her husband is Michael McClure, who's the band director of Warrenton High School in the Warrenton School District.
Okay.
And, and he's conducted us before. They've been members of the community for quite a while, and both very, very outstanding musicians.
Excellent. And then... I understand Sparrow Dance is joining you. That excites me, because that Sparrow Dance, that Julia Gingrich, she is very creative and manages to put together completely diverse programs for herself and her group. What are they going to be doing with the North Coast Symphonic Band?
Well, they are dancing with the Budget March. They're doing a special dance with that, and then they're doing another dance in a suite of old American dances, and it's going to be very nice there too. And what's going to be even more special for the band is that we have not seen them yet. They've been rehearsing on their own.
Nice.
They're going to join us for rehearsal tomorrow, and I'm really excited to see what they've done and how they're going to put it together with us.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you won't be disappointed. Everything I've seen them do, whether it's live or virtual, has been quite wonderful. I'm just trying to picture this, though, where they're going to be dancing. They're not going to be going in between all of the musicians.
I don't have a concept for it. I know it's going to happen, and I can't wait to see what they decide to do.
Okay. So that's all beginning at 2:00 at the Liberty, Sunday, this Sunday. Tell us about the Astoria Tuba Quartet.
I'm going to pass that one over to Dennis.
Okay. What do you play, Dennis? As if I
don't know. I play a third tuba in the group.
How many tubas are there in the group?
We have actually two tubas and two euphoniums make up the group.
Okay.
Lee Stromquist is on the fourth tuba part. I'm on third. Brian Bergman on first euphonium. And John Hammond on second euphonium, and we're going to play quite a wide variety of music. We'll have one special tune for you, Carol.
Ooh!
And you'll recognize it when you hear it.
Oh, why, thank
you. It's a klezmer tune.
Oh, how fun! Thank you. I'm delighted. I'll be there. I'll be wearing black. You might not recognize me. So all four of you are obviously North Coast Symphonic Band members, which I know that Bob Joyner was part of that group as well. We sure miss him. Who is it who stepped in?
John Hammond
was
the one that stepped in. Actually, he went to second euphonium, and then Brian moved up to first euphonium.
Okay.
So we had to do a little switching within the group. But, yes, John Hammond.
Yeah, good. Now, tell us, for those people who never heard the term euphonium, what is it?
A euphonium is... it's basically a small tuba, like a tenor tuba. So it plays an octave above a bass tuba.
But it's considered...
So it's just a smaller horn and a little bit, you know, more of a tenor voice.
Okay. But it's in the tuba family.
Yes, it is, okay. Yes.
Who else is in the tuba family? Anybody? Or just tuba and euphonium?
Just tuba and euphonium, okay. Basically, yes.
Okay.
Unless you call a trombone a slide tuba.
Whoa, you're going to get in big trouble, Brian.
It could be a soprano tuba.
Yeah, right, you guys. Wait till they hear. Wait till you get back with the group. They're going to be... Okay, so it sounds like it's going to be a splendid concert. About how long-ish?
Oh, the concert should go until, you know, probably 3:45-ish.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a first half, will be about 45 minutes, including a little, you know, interludes, talks and stuff. And then we'll have a 15-minute intermission.
Okay.
And then another 45, so.
Good. Okay, so folks, this is a wonderful opportunity to get out. And again, remember that the... health restrictions are there, but they're easy. And that is, you do need a vaccination card and you do need a mask. And if you have any questions, check in with libertyastoria.org or you might even be able to call 325-5922 if my memory serves me. So, anything
also,
else?
Carol,
yeah,
also, the Liberty is opening the doors at 1 o'clock earlier than usual so that people can get in and get checked on their vaccination and we can still start at 2.
Thank you for saying that. I meant to do that. That's part of my job here. So thank you. Absolutely. Everything is slowed down a little bit because of the check. So do get there with plenty of time. You don't have to take your seats right away, but you can find them and then walk around, even go back out. Well, probably stay inside. But that's not a problem at the Liberty. It's quite beautiful. And if you haven't been there recently, this is a great opportunity. Well, congratulations to the North Coast Symphonic Band for the 42nd season. Woohoo!
Yeah.
That's fantastic. How long have you been playing, Brian, with NCSB?
I started in 1996 with the group, so it'd be a little over 25 years ago.
Okay, and Dennis?
Actually, I was one of the original members of the group, so I've been here for the full 42 years.
Wow. Congratulations. That says a lot. How many of you are there? How many are left? Lee Stromquist, probably.
Lee Stromquist, Janet Bowler, myself, and Judy Chateau, and Carol Anderson. I believe there are five.
Five
original members.
Very, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for being here with me. And thanks for bringing the North Coast Symphonic Band back alive. I know you are very happy about it. You guys rehearse at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts. Are you looking for new members ever?
We're always looking for new members. We particularly need clarinet players, percussionists, possibly trumpet players.
Okay.
French horn.
So how?
Oh, French horn, yes.
What should someone do if they think they might be interested? Besides,
probably
come to the concert.
The easiest way is to go on the website. There's a website, North Coast Symphonic Band, and there's a way to, there's contact information on that.
Oh, good. Okay. And I think even better is to come to the concert, listen, look, and then talk to somebody. That would be
Absolutely. Really
a good way to get involved. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Brian Berkman. And Brian, you are the president of the North Coast Symphonic Band. Is that correct?
Yes.
Dennis, do you have a title these days?
No, I'm just a board member.
You're a board member, and you're one of the ancients, or elders.
Right,
one of the elders.
One of the elders.
There
yes.
you go. Okay.
One of the sacred elders.
There you go. I like that. Okay.
Carol.
Yes.
I would like to give a shout out for all of our supporters that have donated time and money to keep our group going. Here in the last couple of months, the donations have really started to roll back in.
Great.
Not nearly enough to cover our expenses, but it's certainly a huge help to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to applaud all of those people that have given to the band.
And folks still can at your website. And again, there'll probably be a collection at the concert. In addition to the ticket price, you can add something. So. Great. We'll see you on Sunday, this Sunday, folks. 1:30 for the tuba quartet. Don't miss them. And 2 o'clock for the full concert. Doors open at 1 p.m. That's 12th and Commercial. Thanks so much for coming. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
You bet.
Thank you, Carol.
And I did want to mention that I started the program with, of course, Buffy St. Marie, and that was to give an acknowledgement to Armistice Day, known as Veterans Day here in the U.S. Armistice Day in many other places used to be that here, too, which is, of course, November 11th. And I saw an excellent program on white poppies and peace for Armistice Day. What a great way to celebrate. Coming up now, some Adams and Costello. They're opening song that they released this spring, and it's called One by One. Their concert is happening at the Coaster Theater, and that is on this Saturday, Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach, 7:30 p.m., and it's stormy weather, but the festival, I don't know about the weather.
Falling down, one by one, they're falling down. losers, abuser, two timers and some losers, one by one, but they're going down. Backstabbers, copycatters, cross eyed girls in the cat's pajamas, one by one, they're falling down.
Yeah, that's Julia Adams. One by one, Adams and Costello. And inspired by getting justice, just wanting things to be right in the world. The surreal struggles of 2020, personal past life, any barrier in the way of humanity's right to happiness, having the strength to overcome. Thanks, Julie. Sunday at the Coaster. Might want to go to their website and get yourself a ticket. And right now I have Christine Kendi. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
I am doing well, especially when I hear you here. it's still interesting interviewing by phone. So, Christine Kendi, I'm not sure. Have we met?
I'm not sure, but maybe when we see each other, we'll go, oh,
there you go.
We've met.
There you go. Okay. So, tell me what kind of art you do.
I am a fused glass artist, and that means that the glass that I manipulate is the kiln is my partner. So there's stained glass, that's cold working. There's the hot glass that the glass blowers do, and mine is considered warm glass,
okay.
Even though it's worked at 1,400 to 1,500 degrees.
Yeah, that sounds pretty hot. Hot to us. Okay, but we invited you here today to talk about the Astoria Art Lofts program, Children's Arts Workshops, the Saturday Art Time. It sounds phenomenal. Month-long workshops every Saturday from 10:30 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. for a whole month. And then you start another one, and another one, and another one. So,
yes.
Who's doing this? Are you doing who's doing
it? I'm the main teacher.
Okay.
Teaching the children. We had the children's art workshops in the summer, and we felt very encouraged by everybody's response. And we are very committed to children's to art education,
mm-hmm.
and especially for children.
Bravo.
And this is something personal to me. It is a way for me to give back to my community. I find a joy in teaching.
I applaud you tremendously. I'm a big supporter of arts in education, and that can be in the schools or out of the schools, but using the arts. So tell us, I understand the first session just has one more class left, and that's tomorrow, is that right?
Yes.
What will you be doing?
So I would encourage, since each session has a theme.
Okay.
And I do appreciate that people sign up ahead of time so I can plan.
Okay.
And have their materials ready. And make it pleasant for the children.
That
way I can also, we keep the numbers at 10.
Okay.
And that has been for the sake of COVID, but it also gives us a chance to give plenty of attention to each of our young people.
Beautiful. What age range are you working with?
I'm studying it at elementary, so first through eighth grade. If there is anyone outside of that age range, if you've talked to us, I think we can accommodate that, too. I think kindergarten is a little bit young. I think first grade is about as young as, because we are expecting them to be a little bit more disciplined and self-controlled, and I don't have any problems with any children at all, but that seems to be a good age.
Okay. But if someone thinks older or younger, they can contact you how?
Absolutely. If they contact us through the Art Loft, that's the best way.
Okay. Astoria Art Loft. And by the way, folks, that is on Let's see, the address is 106 3rd Street. It's actually on 3rd Street, just south of Marine Drive. It's right above Dots and Doodles, but the entrance is on 3rd Street. But you do need to register, is that correct? Don't just show up there?
I do appreciate the registering so that I can make plans, and I'm ready for them.
Okay. Do you have the website right in front of you to tell people how to register or get more information?
I don't have it right in front of me, but I'll get it ready so that by the end of our chat,
okay. You're multitasking. Okay. So I read, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it sounds from what you're saying as though people should probably think about starting with the second month, which begins next week, November 13th. So that's why we wanted to give you a little bit of time, folks. And your topic is warm colors and traditions. And that goes November 13th all the way through December 11th, every Saturday. Now, what if somebody can't make every week?
We'll adjust it from there.
Okay.
We're flexible.
Okay, so you'll negotiate with the parents.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Okay, and then the third week is not until January. Take a little time off at the end of December. January 15th through February 5th, cool colors and hot ideas. What kind of materials are you and the kids working with?
It's primarily paper and all multimedia. And there may be some glass activities in there too, but it is basically multimedia. So we learn the proper application of materials, papers, and how to use brushes, how to use the various commonly available materials available to all artists.
And did I read something about learning about professional artists or famous artists?
Yes. In each of these sessions, we want to learn about artists and their stories so that we have role models that we can relate to. And we also have the artists in the art love so we can see up close what an artist's life is like.
I love that you're doing this at the Art Loft, so the children can, it's not something foreign or up on a wall. These are real people making art of all kinds, the Art Loft.
Yes.
How many artists are there? Do you have an approximate number?
There are usually about 10 artists who have their studio spaces there, and of course Jeanette and Joe, who are the owners of the Art Loft.
Mm-hmm. So
we have changing exhibitions too, so we have other artists as well.
Right. You have outside exhibitions. Well, it's a great place for folks to, adults, to go and just look at art. You are often part of Art Walk during the day, but this, this is very special to have art classes dedicated to children. So the children's art workshops, Saturday art time, 10:30 till 12:30 at the Astoria Art Loft. My guest is Christine Kendi, and who's a fused glass artist and obviously everything else. And did you find a website for us?
I did. And I want everybody to be aware that we also have a Card Evolve, which is a focus on cards for all seasons going on from now until Christmas. And we have other classes also designed for adults. One right now is calligraphy, and it will be offered again in January. And the website is AstoriaArtLoft.com. artloft.com.
Okay, that's
pretty. Astoria Artloft, all one word, .com.
Right.
And there's all the information about our classes and how to register.
Excellent. Excellent. And the cards are, did you say that people are going to be making cards or that cards are for sale? I didn't catch.
Cards are for sale. These are all okay. Handmade by artists associated with the Art Loft.
Wonderful.
And it's a good way to, and we also will have a sale, an art sale coming up next week, which is art supplies, new and gently used, all media, stamps, stencils, and fine art. And the sale of all of these products will go to fund our scholarships for young people and adults.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much, Christine. There is so much going on at the Astoria Art Loft. There are a number of diverse artists working in different mediums, and everybody, I think they have to be not, I'm thinking of, you know, a dog yard. No bites. They're accustomed to people walking through. If somebody doesn't want a guest walking in, they can close their curtain. But people are very friendly there, so check it out. 106 3rd Street. Thank you so much. And folks, do get your kids involved in this wonderful opportunity. Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
You bet. Okay. I have a couple more guests, so I'm going to go right into some music. And November 9th is Kristallnacht, and I think this is something we all need to know about because this happened November 9th, 1938 in Austria and Germany. However, it could happen here.
Katya at the factory. She always did her job okay as far as I could see. Lunchtime one day she got nostalgic for her youth, growing up in wartime under a different truth. She told me when I was a girl I loved the soldier in the SS. They only pick the strongest ones, the healthiest, the best. They weren't monsters, they were like your green berets. We never wanted to kill Jews, we just wanted them away. And you know we gave them lots of time until Kristallnacht sealed their fate. We only wanted them to emigrate. We'll give each Californian a plastic picture card. If you don't have your papers, kid, well, life is hard. The past laws have arrived here in America at last. You used to get a meal in school, but that's the past. Just take your chances in the streets, but do it out of sight. We know you'll get along until your crystal night. Your teacher has to turn you in, she doesn't really hate. We only wanted you to emigrate. Kristallnacht is coming, little Mexican child.
Yeah. See what I mean? Well, a night of breaking glass. Unfortunately, I think it's already come. We have many examples. But again, we're here at Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, and I am thrilled to be able to bring all kinds of healing arts, including my next guest, whose work was very healing last night and rather curious. Richard Machman is here with me, I hope. Hi, Richard.
Yep.
Okay.
Hi.
That's great.
I'm here.
I'm glad.
Thanks for having me on.
I am delighted to have you here. You and Paul Roots had a workshop this morning, is that right?
Yes.
Or this afternoon?
Yeah, playing with the picture plane. Yeah, that went well.
Okay, good. Fun. Good. Richard and Paul and Jennifer Drake opened in a show last night at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery at Clatsop Community College called, it's a double show, Being Moved Into a Study. Those are two different titles. It took me a while to figure that out, but I think I finally got it. And Richard's part is being moved. Paul was on last week, and he talked about his part of the work and his work with Jennifer. And before I forget, I just want to mention that, folks, I highly recommend everybody go up to Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery. It's open Monday through Thursday from 10 to 4. See this amazing show. Have fun with it, which Richard's going to explain to you, and also be part of an art/science study for which you are rewarded. All you have to do is take part, and you get a gift of a print. So check it out. Now, Richard, the name of your part is Being Moved. You have presented interactive paintings. Am I right that both of you were awarded this show from the Au Naturel?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, and Kristen F. at the gallery combined us, thought we'd be two good artists to have together, and it's very true, especially with the pieces. There's a study, but also Paul Roots has, and I really encourage you to take part in that study. Paul Roots has some carved wood panels, paintings that are then painted on and stuff, and that ties in with my figurative paintings that are also on wood, but it's flat wood, and then it has seven of the paintings have these inset triangular columns that you as a viewer then use the handles at the bottom of the painting to rotate, and you change the expression on the model or what the hand gesture or what they're holding and things like that. And it's so they're definitely interactive. The only really fully come alive as artwork when a viewer is interacting with them and making things change and that.
And it was I didn't do it until the end. But then I went around and did every one of them because it was so, I couldn't resist. I had to know what else is there, who else is there. It reminded me a little bit of when we used to get those pages where you could flip the top of the page and get a totally different head or body
right.
or legs.
Yes.
Where did you come up with this idea?
It started because of a children's playground equipment. There was these X and O game that was on these triangular things, and you could rotate it and bring up an X or a blank space or an O and stuff. So that was there at a playground with my daughter, and I thought, oh, this is interesting, and you know, that was there percolating in the back of my brain for a while, and then I after some trial and error ended up making these paintings, which have these inset triangular columns, just like that playground equipment, but then with all this other information painted around it, and you when you rotate it, you just change a segment of a bigger painting.
Right, and when he says
the play ideas is part of it as well.
And it is. It's a lot of fun. But some of those expressions were a little bit, whoa, blew me away. I had to turn them around again immediately. But you, Richard says information, he means fine artwork. So you are from British Columbia, from Victoria.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Now, that's where you live. And what do you do there?
I work, earn my living working with people with disabilities, cognitive disabilities, people with Down syndrome, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do various, some art things with them, but also just work in a day program with them.
Interesting.
Which I enjoy a lot. And I go to my studio every Saturday and some evenings and things like that to do these paintings. And
did you study figurative art?
Got my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree from the University of Victoria. The focus on the figure is definitely my own. Yeah. People are very interesting. The skin, bodies, personalities interest me a lot. So I want these paintings to, focus in on that and have people also focus in. And, you know, when you're moving things, you get close to the painting, so you get in a quite intimate relationship with these people and their things. So I hope that sort of engagement of moving things, that intimacy with the painting, sort of maybe build some empathy with what's depicted. And some of the imagery is quite confrontational or in your face, depending on what sort of you turn to. But yes, because some of that's about the sort of vulnerability of people, the fragility of us. We have mental health problems. We have violence comes there, anger, emotions come up. And
love. And laughter.
Yeah, and love.
And beauty.
Yeah,
yeah.
And romance and things like that.
Right,
those all come up. But I wanted to bring those up. And people have total control of what they line up, what they position on these paintings.
I love that because a couple of things. First of all, usually you're told, don't touch the art. And here you're doing just the opposite. Grab that bar and turn it and see what you get, see how you feel. You know, that's another place where your work and what Paul and Jen did come together because part of their study is about feeling and reacting. And yours is the same, only we get to manipulate yours right on the spot and change it. So, delightful.
Yeah, change it.
And I do, I have to tell people that Richard was born in Mombasa. Is that correct? Mombasa, Kenya.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's quite the international fellow. We don't have time to go into much more. I was delighted to meet you last night, Richard. I'm so glad that you took the time and made the effort. And boy, is it an effort, folks. If you think getting into the Liberty Theater or anywhere else is challenging, Richard had to cross borders. And including vaccinations and COVID tests and passports.
Yes.
And
forms to fill out. I've just been doing some of that to get myself back into Canada.
Oh, well, maybe we'll keep you here for a little bit longer. Well, I told you we don't have much time, so I just wanted to get you on real fast so that people could meet you. And be sure to get up there and see this exhibit. It is there through January, I believe. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, till January 10th.
But the sooner you go, the better, because then you can take part in the study as well, and then you can always go back. So thanks so much, Richard, for coming to Astoria and for coming to KMUN. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. It's been wonderful being in Astoria.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, I've got one more guest, and Jan will be with us in a minute. Here's Ann Feeney first, right here on Arts Live and Local. This is Carol. Yeah. Let's call the shots, folks. Call the shots. And if you need to know more about that, there are plenty of resources out there. I've got someone here on the line who definitely knows how to call the shots. Jan Bono is here with me. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Jan has been putting out books, and not just any book. This is the Sylvia Avery Cozy Mystery Series. Did I have that right?
You do.
Okay.
And it takes place right here on the Long Beach Peninsula.
Yes, and which is absolutely delightful, because if you live around here, you definitely recognize places and spaces. I don't know about people. What about people?
Well, they're mostly composite people. You know, a friend says something here, a friend says something there, and I just make the same person say it in the book.
Okay. That seems safe enough. So the good news is you get a congratulations. You did manage to publish the last of this series, the number 6, Tsunami Warning, which, again, all of us who live here can identify with. How did you decide that you were ready to close the series?
Oh, I still don't know if I've closed the series. Although it does say on the back, in this 6th and final book.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't want to back out of it. I had other books that were waiting for me to write them.
Uh-huh.
And there may be in a few years, like the sequel, What Happened Later.
I love it. Okay.
My imaginary friends are talking to me all the time, and they cannot believe I'm not working on one of those books.
I see. They're pissed. Wait a minute. How could you leave us in the lurch? My goodness.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly.
So you are going to have a one-woman book fair that is happening this Sunday.
Not this Sunday.
Oh, sorry. Next Sunday, the 14th.
Yes.
At the Peninsula Arts Center, which is 504
right.
Pacific Avenue North,
mm-hmm.
Long Beach. It's right on the main drag. And that would be Bill and Sue Svensson, who
That's correct.
Put on concerts sometimes twice a week, which is delicious.
They are so supportive of the arts in this community.
Absolutely.
And writing is an art.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's disputable. Where are you going now that you allegedly closed this chapter or this series?
Well, with the 6th book in the series, the 6th and final book of the
yes.
series.
What did you do with these people anyway? What did you do with them? I mean, how do you close
They're
the
still talking
book?
To me, and I'm still writing things down and putting it in the file with the potential of sometime in the future.
Okay.
But I'm going to get a little grittier in my writing. I'm going to get into some fiction that's based on true crime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get into, you know, a series. What I'm doing now is I'm writing 11 short stories that I'll put into one book, and it'll be, you know, where the bodies are buried on the peninsula kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still using the location as the backdrop of the whole thing, but with the cozies, a cozy mystery has no graphic violence,
mm-hmm.
no obscene language, no explicit sex. And that's one of the definitions of cozy. So if you leave it on your coffee table, you're not embarrassed if your mother or your grandmother picks it up.
Or your children.
Or your children, exactly. But I've wanted to try a little more suspense-filled, a little thriller, a little more drama.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on these short stories as a transition into writing maybe some more fact driven kind of thriller books.
Okay, so where are you? If you say you're working on real crime, and you're talking about the peninsula, which isn't very big, where are you getting your information? And how?
Well, the one that I've been waiting to write for 25 years, I was actually a part of. I was writing to a man who was in prison, and it turned out later that he was actually a person of interest in a series of murders.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it fell in my lap. And I kept all his letters and everything, and how it the drama with my family disowned me for a while there, about 3 years. Nobody spoke to me.
Wow.
And they were afraid that he was going to get out of prison and he was going to come look for anybody with the same last name.
Yeah.
And so I managed to, you know, distance myself before he was paroled.
Is he still alive?
No, he is not.
Okay, that sounds safer.
That's what I thought.
Thank you. I feel better already. Thanks.
So did my mother.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'll be interested in that. So you're going to write the short stories, or you are writing the short stories from that experience, or you're building?
No, the short stories are fiction. Although there are ways that I thought of how to kill my ex-husband.
Now, Jan.
There were 11 different ways, and so I just wrote short stories about them, made them different people.
And I'm not going to add. I'm not going to fall into that. Sorry. I can't. I can't go there. This is community radio.
The one-woman book fair.
Yes.
For the first six people who come and buy the whole six-book set.
We don't give prices, but.
I've made baskets.
Ooh.
And the baskets will include packets of hot chocolate, biscotti. There will be some Christmas cards in them that are blank that the person can use to give a gift for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm making it just a little special. I'll put bows on them and things. So
lovely.
The first six of the full set will go that way. And then there are other books as well besides the mystery series. I have 15 books now and
good
it started when I was writing a newspaper column, Humorous Personal Experience, for the Chinook Observer.
Uh-huh. When was that?
That was in the 90s, actually. Mm-hmm. And then I was told that they didn't want to lose my stories at the bottom of the birdcage or wrapped around a fish. And so it was suggested to me that I start putting these into books. And now suddenly I've written about friends and family and school teaching and all the kinds of things that just, you know, come at me. And I find humor in almost everything, which is why it's so hard to write drama for me.
Okay, Jan, I have to tell you that I went silent there for a minute because I had to figure out what that phrase you used, and that was pretty funny. At the bottom of a bird cage or wrapped around a fish. I'm gonna write that down. That's classic. Okay, folks, this is Sunday, November 14th. That's a week from this Sunday, mm-hmm. at the Peninsula Arts Center, 504 Pacific Avenue North, and
from 10 until 2,
and. Yeah, it sounds like if you're going to be able to go as early as you can and snag one of those special deals. I like that. The cards help people who perhaps already have half your books, and they can give the other books as gifts. So stuff like that. So you are constantly creating. I admire that. And I want to congratulate you on being able to do this last book in the time of COVID. And Sylvia Avery, Cozy Mystery Series, has come to a close for now.
For now.
And we will watch Jan Bono. Jan, do you have a website?
I do. It's www.janbonobooks, all one word, no spaces.
Okay.
www.janbonobooks.com.
Good.
And in there you can see the synopsis of each one of my books.
Excellent. And Bono is B-O-N-O. Nice and simple.
Correct.
Okay, Jan, thank you so much for all the creativity you put into this community and you take out of this community and share with the world and for coming in on Arts Live and Local.
Thanks, Carol. So good to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, folks, well, let's see. I have a little bit of music. You'll hear more of this next week from the Hermitage Trio because they are going to be coming to the Liberty as well. But let me tell you what's happening right now. I have half a minute. Tonight is Jericho Brown at the Liberty, 7 o'clock, along with local poets. Riverbend Players opens Steel Magnolias tonight at the North County Recreation District in Nehalem. Stormy Weather Arts Festival is all this weekend. Galleries, music, food, art. And don't forget about the Clatsop Animal Assistance Fundraiser. And also... the Coast Weekend article on Eugene Landry at the Shoalwater. Tomorrow, Adams and Costello and Cannon Beach Gallery reception. Every gallery will have receptions. Also, the Gearhart Art Walk and the Seaside Art Walk. Time for me to go. Thanks so much for being here, and stay well and be active.
KMUN programming is brought to you by members and by Oregon Realtor Andrea Mace with Realty One Group Prestige, who specializes in the beach towns of Manzanita, Cannon Beach, Seaside, and Gearhart. More info at andreamace.myrealtyonegroup.com.